Jeez, talk about a V-shaped recovery. Look at the bubbles. They're completely green. And if you look at ETH, I mean, talk about a textbook V-shaped recovery. And there are some indications that this V-shaped recovery is actually going to continue and could actually get more aggressive. But there is one thing in the market that we do have to pay attention to. We have to pay really urgent attention to. Now that Canada and Mexico are out the way, we have another situation in the market. And that is, of course, China and the tariffs that Trump enforced on China. What China's done is China started to retaliate. And I mean, Mexico and China are, they're pretty small in comparison, but they're not China. And China, we know, is a much bigger war than the US against Mexico or the US against Canada. So we need to look at what's going to happen around China, whether it could hurt the crypto markets or whether we're just going to continue with this V-shaped recovery. And there are indications on both, and that's what we're going to be talking about. I think it's going to be a V-shaped recovery, but I'll show you exactly why. So if that sounds good to you and you want to be one of the 1.152433 million people that are going to be watching this, that are going to be subscribed to our channel, join our channel, obliterate the like button, obliterate, destroy the like button. I'm back in the studio. I'm exhausted. I haven't slept, but don't worry, I'll make it through and I've got a surprise for you today. So let's go. I just got off the plane. You can see I haven't eaten anything. I've got a sandwich here. But I'm here and I'm bringing you crypto love and I'm bringing you crypto wisdom. I'm exhausted. And I'm going to be here even, I'm going to be here later on today when David Sacks has a press conference today, which is in about 5 hours. I'm going to be back live bringing you streaming of the press conference. So make sure that you guys are back here. Make sure that you are subscribed and make sure that your bell notifications are on, because we're going to be watching the David Sacks and Donald Trump press conference together. They're going to be discussing a whole lot of things about crypto, and we're going to be talking, we're going to find out today exactly what they're going to be talking about, and we'll be here together with you. But you need to make sure that you're subscribed and you need to make sure that your bell notifications are on, otherwise you won't know when we start. And remember that Trump is always late. Like, you know, Trump's always late. He says the press conference is going to be at like 2:30 EST. I know for sure it's going to be like 3:30 EST or 4 EST or something like that. But anyway, we'll be here and put your notifications on. You'll be here. Otherwise, today we've got a big, big, big show for you. We're going to talk about this V-shaped recovery, specifically on ETH, and whether it's going to continue. And there's discussions around both sides. I'm going to show you also why this happened. It shouldn't have happened, but I'm going to show you exactly why this happened. And then we'll talk about what could actually cause this big V-shaped recovery to continue. But we've got to watch out for China, because we know that China is not Mexico and China is not Canada. Canada and Mexico basically just did a U-turn on their anti-US policies. But this China thing is much deeper. You got to take it in context of the fact that DeepSeek was actually launched on the day that of Trump's inauguration. So this may be something a lot bigger. And that's why we have to discuss exactly what's going on. Because with these V-shaped recoveries, as you'll see in certain other scenarios, what you can see is that, like, sometimes these V-shaped recoveries are one-offs, like COVID was one and then V-shaped recovery. But then some of them have this like double bottom. So you can see like this Tesla selling their Bitcoin. There was one bottom recovery, then another bottom. And then the FTX collapse also had a double bottom. So that one recover down again. So we need to look as to whether there's another bottom, a double bottom, or whether this is going to be a straight V-shaped recovery. And this is very important, because the market has a way of giving you bad news, showing you that or luring you back in, and then dumping again. And we need to make sure we're not in that kind of situation, because when you see a V-shaped recovery like the one we saw in ETH, when you see one day where you have like the biggest liquidation of a long time, and then the market goes back, and then the market goes back up again, you have to ask the question as to whether this is going to be a V-shaped or whether it's going to be a double bottom. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. So if that makes sense to you, obliterate the like button. Let's get going. Let's get into the alpha of the day. I think the one thing we need to appreciate is specifically what happened around ETH. This is textbook V-shape recovery. Like, you can see down and then all the way back up. We got back to 2,910. ETH actually wasn't recovering very well. I don't know if you guys noticed yesterday, but ETH wasn't recovering very well. And then all of a sudden, somewhere here, let's see if we can. So it was about here. We got this big green candle. So ETH was at around 2,700. Bitcoin was already back at 101,000 at this time. And then we got this massive green candle that actually took ETH to 2,925. And that is when we had Donald Trump, or Eric Trump, basically tweet, in my opinion, it's a great time to buy ETH. Now, I don't know about you, but like, I think we're living in a simulation where the president's son, after the biggest ETH liquidation ever, probably, it was the biggest ETH liquidation ever. The president's son says, in my opinion, it's a great time to add ETH. That's actually not all he said. He tweeted and he kept changing the tweet. He said, in my opinion, it's a great time to change ETH here first, to add ETH. You can thank me later. And then he changed it to, in my opinion, it's a great time to add ETH. And then he said, in my opinion, it's a great... I mean, he kept changing the tweet, basically. I don't know why. Well, why did he change between here and here?
He forgot to have a grammar mistake.
Ah, okay, okay. Yeah, he had a grammar mistake. Okay, so that is what actually took ETH even further up. And now we're seeing this, like, this V-shaped recovery on ETH. Now, let's talk about this V-shaped recovery. The first thing is that I want to talk about is that what happened yesterday shouldn't have happened. It is criminal, it is very, very, very rare, and it is very anomalistic for the second biggest asset in crypto to have a crash where it goes down so much in one day. Like, you're talking about, let's just go more or less from here down to here, you're talking about a 37% crash for the second biggest asset in crypto. And that is why everybody was actually caught off guard. This shouldn't happen in one day to the second biggest asset in crypto. It shouldn't happen. And that's why most people were actually caught off guard. And that is why that this situation is extremely, extremely, extremely anomalous. And that's why I agree with Andrew Kang, where he says, buying liquidation cascades like these are one of the five times a year that you should shove everything and buy it hand over fist. And I agree with him. When you get a liquidation of the second biggest asset in crypto and the network still works and there's nothing fundamentally wrong with the network, what you know is that this is all about a deleveraging of leverage. That's pretty much all that this situation was, in a cascade of leverage. And it comes because people are too sensitive in crypto. I saw this tweet from Satoshi Stack. It says, when you see FUD and you hear FUD and you smell FUD, walk away. Just walk away and block out the noise. Pretty much just keep blocking out the noise. Now the big question is the following. Is the worst over? Or is this going to be a double bottom? Initially, it looked like it was going to be a complete V-shaped recovery. We were doing extremely, extremely, extremely well. But then we got the China tariff wars announcement, right? And so now you have to ask yourself, is this China thing going to escalate and bring us back into this double bottom type of scenario? That's the big question now, right? So let's just look at historically. Historically, when you have massive liquidation events, there's two types of recovery patterns that happen. The first type of recovery pattern is, as I showed you before, it's the V-shaped recovery. COVID was a very good example of that. Down, immediately straight up. When we had Tesla selling their Bitcoin, which was one of these big drawdown liquidations, which he actually mentions in his tweet, says March 2020, we know that was this one over here. That was a COVID. Then he talks about May 2021. So 2nd May 2021 is this. It's the Tesla selling their Bitcoin. That went down. You could say this was a V-shape. This was down and straight back up. So this one was a complete V-shape recovery. Then we had another one. We had 3rd November 2022. So 3rd November 2022 is this one over here. It's the FTX collapse. That was down, up, down. So we had a double bottom here. And then the Japanese yen cash and carry trade was a down, up, down. So two V-shaped and two linears. And the reason why I'm putting this on your radar is to show you that you need to be prepared for any scenario, right? We don't know what's going to cause this double V-shaped. You need to be prepared for the V-shaped recovery or for the double bottom. Either way, and by prepared, what I mean is perhaps lay off the leverage until there's some kind of clarity in this market. Make sure that you're not going to get wiped out. Why do I say that? Because the market has a way of sucking people in. Right? Ansem had a tweet yesterday. I don't remember exactly how he said it, but he said, these low liquidity pumps after a liquidation event aren't actually your friend. These are the typical scenarios where the market can actually trick you. And I'm not saying it will, because I actually think that this was a generational buying opportunity. Like, if you managed to get ETH at $2,000 yesterday, then that is, in my mind, a generational buying opportunity. I don't think we're going to get ETH at $2,000 again. But there is always a chance that we're going to go slightly back down here and maybe go back down to 2,500 or maybe 2,300. It is a possibility, and you have to be ready for that possibility. Ready means don't be leveraged. Ready means have some money on the sidelines to actually buy this dip if it actually happens. But I do think either way that you've got yourself into a situation where if you picked up anything on yesterday's correction, you got an unbelievable, unbelievable opportunity. And in the long term, what you can see is that all of these massive liquidation cascades always resulted in the buyers making huge money. You can see it over here, huge money. Tesla selling their Bitcoin, whoever bought, made huge money. FTX collapse, I don't need to tell you about that one because we actually landed up buying all of it and we landed up making huge money. The thing is about yesterday, it was all about a liquidation cascade. And there's a lot of talk that maybe this liquidation cascade was coordinated. This guy says, anyway, I believe that the market move yesterday was coordinated, was a coordinated move to liquidate as many people as possible before actually sending the price much higher. The market has proved it's hard to pump Bitcoin to an all-time high with all the good news. And so maybe people are actually moving into ETH. Also, now that we've done a post-mortem on what actually happened, what we realized was that Coinbase actually wasn't operating properly. We also realized that market makers on Coinbase actually pulled their liquidity, and that started to cause all the panic. So this could have been market manipulation. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, although I kind of have to believe that sometimes there are market manipulation shenanigans. But it was a freak accident. And when freak accidents happen, those that buy the freak accidents, those that have conviction in those times, those are the people that actually land up making money. And at the end of the show, I'll actually tell you exactly what happened to me. I'll be brutally honest in terms of what happened to me. It wasn't pretty. And I'll also tell you that it was probably my worst trading day since Luna. Literally, it was my worst trading day since the collapse of Luna. So I'll tell you exactly what happened, and I'll tell you what you can actually do to avoid that actually happening to you. You know who did benefit from all of this? The guys that went out to buy the dip, and that was the ETF buyers. They went and bought $100 million, $83 million of ETH. And if you look at Bitcoin, actually, I think Bitcoin had an outflow yesterday. Bitcoin had a $250 million outflow. So the TradFi people actually realized that yesterday was a very good buying opportunity on ETH, and they actually landed up buying a whole lot of ETH, about $100 million worth of ETH, which shows that instead of fear, these guys actually said, okay, we're not scared of this. We're actually just gonna keep buying this. We're gonna actually land up buying this dip. Let's quickly just look at what happened. So we were here. There was a recovery, and I want to talk to you about how ETH is actually recovering, because it's not actually recovering as fast as say for example Solana, which actually tells you something. So if you look at, I took two positions yesterday. I took an ETH position and I took a Solana position, thinking that the ETH position would outperform because ETH got hit much harder. But the reality is that the Solana position is actually outperforming the ETH position, which means that people have lost conviction in ETH and people have a lot more conviction in Solana right now. And so even though Solana didn't dip as much, it is recovering much quicker than ETH is recovering. You can see that ETH is struggling to get back to where it was before this whole thing happened. This whole thing happened when ETH was at 3,100. And it was helped by Eric Trump. I mean, we have to just, for 2 seconds, just reflect on what kind of simulation we're actually living in. When the president's son tweets about an asset after the biggest liquidation events and says, buy it now, you'll actually thank me. Then he has a change of heart and he says, you know what, maybe just buy it and don't thank me. Like, it's quite weird what's going on. And you really, really, really have to ask yourself a question. Why did Eric Trump yesterday tweet about ETH? Let's look at the different options, okay? Option number one is that he knows something. Maybe he knows something. Maybe it has something to do with this event that David Sacks is actually holding tonight, this press conference. Maybe Eric Trump knows something. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe Eric Trump actually knows something and he really, like, he just can't keep it in. I have another theory. Okay, now Eric Trump, remember Eric Trump is actually new to crypto, okay? He's not a crypto OG. He hasn't been around for a long time. He's new to crypto and he's new to crypto volatility, okay? Now just like think of this theory. And if this video gets taken off YouTube, it gets taken off YouTube. And if I score some own goals against the Trump administration, then I score some own goals. But just think of this theory. If you're Eric Trump and you're World Liberty Fund, and your portfolio is down a lot. Like, I don't remember how much their portfolio was down, but it's like, it's down 21% in January on big numbers, right? Just imagine that's your portfolio. Now, your biggest holding in the portfolio is actually ETH, right? You earn $172 million, $200 million worth of ETH, right? Just imagine that that's your scenario, okay? You look like a tool, number one. And number two, you are, I won't say panicking because I don't think the Trump's panic, but it's not a good look, right? So what does Eric Trump do? He says, hold on a second. Let me sort shit out. Pulls out his phone, starts tweeting. He tweets. He tweets the first tweet. The first tweet is, in my opinion, it's a great time to add ETH. You can thank me later. 5 minutes later, the lawyer phones him. He's like, listen, you can't say you can thank me later. That's a da da da. Change the tweet. He changes the tweet. So I don't know why he's doing this. I don't know whether he actually has any inside information, doesn't have any inside information. But I do think that it's weird that the son of the president is actually doing that. And then what happened was, they deposited $175 million worth of ETH into Coinbase Prime. Now, generally, when people send money to Coinbase Prime, it's because they're going to sell, right? But then they quickly, when they realized that everybody was watching the trades, because everyone just started pointing out the trades, they were like, we're making some routine movements to our crypto portfolio as part of the regulatory treasury management. We're not selling. Thanks very much. And then they didn't actually sell anything. So there is something going on here. You'll agree with me that it can't be that linear. It can't be linear, right? Like, I mean, could it be linear? It can't be linear. He either knows what's going on and he knows something, or for some reason he had an urge, an inclination to buy ETH. And I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Anyway, I mean, the truth is that I did love this where they said, Eric Trump has done more for ETH than the ETH Foundation has done in years. That is really true. Hey? Like, he has done a lot more for ETH than the foundation has done in years. And also now, I don't know if you remember, do you remember that I said to you guys a while back, I have a feeling that this whole World Liberty Fi buying these tokens is actually token swaps. And I said to you guys, in fact, I actually want to play this to you because otherwise you won't believe me that I actually said it to you a while back. But let's just play it for you. $1 million worth of ETH, $47 million worth of Bitcoin, $4.7 million worth of Aave. By the way, I think I know what World Liberty Fi is doing. I can't confirm this, but I think I know what they're doing because I don't know where they got so much money from. They didn't raise this amount of money. I think they're doing token swaps with the big protocols. Mark my words, that's going to come out. That news is going to come out at some point because they didn't raise this amount of money. Where are they getting 100 million to buy Bitcoin ETH? Where are they getting 4.7 million to buy Aave? It'll come out one day very soon that these guys were swapping their tokens for tokens in the big protocols. Remember Rand told you. So remember Rand told you, that was 2 weeks ago. And then now there's these things coming out. Scoop, the President Trump's backed World Liberty Fi has been approaching crypto projects for token swap deals. World Liberty Fi is an unlaunched DeFi platform, blah, blah, blah. Reps for the project are saying the platform will launch in Q3 at a $1.5 billion valuation. As for token swaps, World Liberty Fi is offering to send WLFI tokens to crypto projects if those projects give at least 10 million of those tokens plus a fee. So they're swapping. They're basically going to all the big protocols in the market, right? If this is true. I think it's true. I think they're going to all the big protocols and saying, look, do you want to be advertised by World Liberty Fi? If you do, you give us $10 million worth of your token, and we'll give you $10 million of our token when we launch in Q4 at a $1.5 billion fully diluted valuation. That's what's going on here. So they're actually using World Liberty Fi as a marketing machine. I don't know if you're putting the pieces together. It's like, how much would you pay to have your token in the Trump vehicle? Yeah, you'd swap. It's okay, well, you know, you give me $10 million, I'll give you at $1.5 billion, I'll give you some tokens. Anyway, so that's the World Liberty Fi story. Remember, you heard it here first, because no one's going to give you the news like that. No one's going to give it to you. And also, obliterate the like button. I mean, 624 likes. Have I done something wrong? I look sad. I'm tired. I've been on a flight, guys. Sad. I'll tell you the sad story later, but we will recover. We will come back. Remember today, later on today, there is the press conference which is being hosted by David Sachs and Donald Trump, and it's about digital assets. Now, there's a lot of speculation about what's actually going to happen in this press conference. On the one hand, you could think to yourself, well, you know, David Sachs actually hasn't had a long time, and so he's not going to bring anything concrete to the press release. He may talk about his approach. He may talk about what approach they're using to evaluate the Bitcoin strategic reserve. He may talk about who he's pulling in. It may be very, very, very broad, right? And there's a lot of speculation about what he's going to talk about. People are saying he may talk about U.S. digital assets stockpiled. He might define market structures, U.S. making the U.S. a global leader, taxation and capital gains tax adjustment, all these things. The thing is, he hasn't been around for long enough to actually make real progress. Like, he couldn't announce a strategic reserve today because they just haven't done all the work around a strategic reserve. So it'd be very strange if he came out today and he said that there's a strategic reserve. But on the other hand, David Sachs is a businessman, and this is his first press conference. This is like his first big press conference. If I were him, and I think he probably thinks like me because we're both business people, right? I think he's going to want to impress. I think he's going to come to the market with something. Don't know what that something is. No idea. Maybe Josh knows. Josh, do you know what it is? No idea. But he's going to come. He's going to come with something. I'm telling you, he's going to come with something. I'm telling you, something is going to come out of this press conference tonight. He's not. He didn't invite us all at 2:30. I mean, he knows I was on a flight all night. He knows I didn't sleep. He knows that I have to go and see my kids. He wouldn't make me do a show at 9:30 p.m. South African time and knowing that President Trump and him are going to be late. He wouldn't do that, bro. He definitely has something to announce. I mean, hopefully, because otherwise I'm going to be dead. I'm so tired. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so there's lots of speculation around what's going on. I think this is the most realistic one that I had. He'll be heavy on Bitcoin and timelines. He'll discuss the sovereign wealth fund. We're also going to discuss the sovereign wealth fund. And he'll talk about the America First rhetoric, and he won't mention XRP. This is the tweet. Abacus Andrew, this is the tweet. This is the actual tweet. Anyway, let's talk about the sovereign wealth fund, yes? So what is all this hype about the sovereign wealth fund? It's a lot of hype, and there should actually be a lot of hype. And I'll explain to you why I think there should be a lot of hype. So what is a sovereign wealth fund? A sovereign wealth fund is effectively a fund that is owned and funded by a country to make investments. It almost turns the country into an investment company, if you want to call it that, right? And some of the bigger sovereign funds in the world are, like, for example, Saudi Arabia's sovereign fund, the Dubai sovereign fund. And this is where countries actually start investing in things that are going to be very bullish or generate them returns and position them holding assets that will position the country in an advantageous position, right? And so yesterday, Trump signed a sovereign fund executive order. Listen.
Next, this is an executive order. This charges your Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, and your Secretary of Commerce, Howard Lutnick, to begin a process that will hopefully result in the creation of an American sovereign wealth fund.
It's a very exciting event. We're going to have a sovereign wealth fund, which we've never had. We have a lot of things that create wealth, and you've seen that over the last 2 weeks. I think we've created more wealth. Other people have created de-wealth, the people, my predecessors. We're creating a lot of wealth. Scott, maybe you'd like to say something about it, and I'd ask also Howard to say something about it.
Yes, sir. This is very, very exciting. We're going to stand this thing up within the next 12 months. We're going to monetize the asset side of the U.S. balance sheet for the American people. We're going to put the assets to work. And I think it's going to be very exciting.
So they're going to take the U.S. balance sheet, which is one of the biggest balance sheets in the world, and they're going to start investing it in things that they think are going to advance the United States. Now, I said the word they. Who is they that are going to start to invest this? Well, it's like these two people, okay? It's this guy and it's this guy. Okay, now, remember what their mandate is. Their mandate is to invest in things that they think are going to give America returns. Put the balance sheet to work, but also be strategic about what you're investing in. So, example, Saudi Arabia, which is a very, very oil-rich and resource-rich country, they went and used their fund to invest in properties around the world, to invest in AI, to invest in infrastructure, things that would give it an advantage specifically when the resources of the country get depleted, right? That is what sovereign wealth funds are used for. So you've got Scott Bessent. He is the Treasury Secretary. This guy has $500,000 worth of Bitcoin and ETF. He's a big Bitcoiner, this guy. He's not as much as big a Bitcoiner as this guy. Okay, now this guy is Howard Lutnick. Now, he is the president of the president of Cantor Fitzgerald, and he was on the Pump podcast. Now, I just want you to hear, first of all, how rich he is, and two, how excited he is around Bitcoin. Just listen to this.
One last question for you before I let you go. How rich are you, and how much of your net worth is in Bitcoin? Because if I don't ask you, everyone will be really mad at me.
If you took my stake in my public companies, which is public, and you did the public math, you'd see a couple of billion dollars.
Okay.
Okay. And then at least a couple of billion dollars. And then you'd have, what's Cantor worth? Yeah, I'm not saying. Okay. But things are good for me. How about that? Is that a nice way to say it? Since Cantor owns the stakes in the other companies, it's good for me. So, and I have.
Like the percentage, you don't have to say exact number, but like, how do you think about either you or Cantor?
I don't have a big enough percentage. I probably have, I can't say, because then people can figure out that no, how much I have. I would say I have hundreds of millions of dollars.
Okay.
Okay. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, exposure to Bitcoin. And it will be billions.
I was going to say, next year when you come back,
he has
we'll do this
hundreds
again,
of millions of dollars in Bitcoin. It's not enough, and it will be Bitcoin. And he's also running the U.S. Sovereign Fund. And he's also, by the way, the only investor in Tether. He owns 5% stake in Tether, which is a stablecoin play. And his firm is doing amazing, amazing, amazing things around Bitcoin, launching a $2 billion Bitcoin financing lending business. So this is the guy that's running the U.S. sovereign fund. And now, to give an idea of how big these sovereign funds actually are. So the government pension fund of Norway is 1.74 trillion. That's not a sovereign fund exactly. China, 1.33 trillion. Abu Dhabi, 1.1 trillion. The U.S. sovereign fund could easily, easily, easily be $3, $4, $5 trillion. So why am I so excited about this? Because Cynthia Luma said this is a big deal. She indicates that the U.S. is going to be putting Bitcoin on the sovereign wealth fund. I think it's going to be different. I think it's going to be different. I think what's going to happen is the U.S. is going to launch a Bitcoin strategic reserve. Because between you and me, we both know that the only asset that should be in a strategic reserve is actually Bitcoin, right? We know that even though we love altcoins, altcoin shouldn't be in the strategic reserve, but Bitcoin should be in the strategic reserve, right? So I think what's going to happen is I think that they're going to make a Bitcoin strategic reserve, but I think that the sovereign wealth fund is going to invest a lot in crypto, and it's going to invest in things like Solana. It's going to invest in the DEXs. It's going to invest in things that are going to give America an advantage. And I think that crypto is going to be a big, 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 big part of the investment. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they invest in things like Tether to dollarize stablecoins, to grow dollarized stablecoins so that they can give the U.S. a lead in international trade and stuff like that. So I think that that's why this is so big. This is huge for Bitcoin, but probably much bigger for actual crypto, to be honest. I think that that's like really, really huge. So all these things that I've showed you kind of point to the fact that we're actually going to get this V-shaped recovery. And if we look at the prices now, Bitcoin's back above 100,000. ETH is limping like a lame horse. Solana's back at 215. I should have just put everything back into Solana. I think the reason why the markets actually got spooked is, the traditional markets aren't spooked, they're up 0.5%, is because of China. Because now, like, they've made peace with Canada. Canada basically relented to exactly what Donald Trump wanted. It's all a game. That's what I said to you guys. It's all a game. This is all a game. It's like, I'm going to threaten a trade war and tariffs so that they do exactly what I want, and then they back down. And you can do that if you're like so big. And that's exactly what's happening here. So Canada relented. They announced a $1.3 billion border investment, new fentanyl czar. They're designating cartels. I think that Trump has a bee in his bonnet around Canada. And I think he ain't going to stop until he makes Canada a a 51st state of the United States?
What I'd like to see Canada become our 51st state. We give them protection, military protection. We don't need them to build our cars. I'd rather see Detroit or South Carolina or any one of our Tennessee, any one of our states build the cars. They could do it very easily. We don't need them for the cars. We don't need them for lumber. We don't need them for anything. We don't need.
So he's not going to stop until he makes Canada a 51st state. Mexico relented to all of Trump's things. But now the problem is China. And China is not as like chicken shit as Mexico or Canada, right? China is a superpower. And we know that there's like this silent Cold War between USA and China. Everyone knows that. I think the first punch in this war was actually thrown like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when they started launching DeepSeek and stuff like that. And so I think the China thing may be a little bit more complicated. But that said, I think right now, like, you know, when there's a fight, right? Like when there's a fight, usually it doesn't like, they don't just start fighting. Usually like the one guy pushes the other guy, then the other guy pushes the other guy, then they start swinging. I think this is like the first push. Like it's the first push, like don't mess with me, bro. And then there's like the other guy pushes him back. This is exactly what's going on here. I don't think this is going to lead into like a massive trade war. I don't think also that the tariffs that China is proposing at the moment, it's not like all our tariffs, it's only tariffs on certain things. If you read what they say, it's a 15% tariff on US coal and liquefied natural gas and 10% on oil and agriculture equipment. China also imposed export controls with immediate effect on some rare earth minerals, meaning they're not going to send the US any more rare earth minerals or some. And they're now going to probe Google over alleged antitrust breaches. And then I read that they're also going to investigate NVIDIA on antitrust breaches. Okay, so you can see that like these guys are pushing each other around. But again, there's this like sentence, which is the same sentence that we saw on Mexico and the same sentence that we saw on Canada, where it's like, yes, they're going to get into a fight, but they're scheduled to have a call tomorrow. And then remember what happened with the Mexican call? Like the guy backed down, the lady backed down. And what happened with Canada? They backed down. This is not the beginning of the war. This is a, hey, bro, why aren't you returning my call? Oh, he's not returning my call. Okay, well, let me put tariffs on him. And now they're going to get together and they're going to talk. And look, either we're going to get some kind of announcement where we're going to get an announcement from China and the US saying, look, we've come to some kind of friendly deal. China has agreed to do this and to do that and to do this. Or this drags on for quite a while. But this is not very, very, very serious. The magnitude and the numbers here are not very serious. Alex Kruger actually pointed out, he says, a 10% US tariff on China and retaliation in kind could reduce the size of the US GDP by $55 billion over the course of the Trump administration. That's 4 years. That's about $11 billion a year. And leave the Chinese GDP $128 billion lower. So China has much more of an incentive to relent here. And I think that's what's going to happen. So to be honest, I think this is a little bit more of a nothing burger. And that's why I think that the market is, to a greater or less extent, shaking this off. I do believe that the press conference tonight will be a little bit more bullish than people are expecting, and we'll see that together tonight. And I think that will possibly make this run actually continue to happen. So I see someone says this is posturing. Ran, China is a big worry. I know. Long term, China is a big worry. I just don't think that this is the big part of the Chinese like attack, if you know what I'm saying. Rand knows big words, nothing burger. That's not a big word. All right, let me tell you what happened. So, I'll tell you what happened to me. I had a long position on ETH. I think some of you know what my long position is. I had a long position on ETH. My entry price was about $3,000. Yeah, well, when we went down to $2,000, I got liquidated. And yeah, I lost a lot of money, like fortunes of cash, massive money. You guys can probably do the numbers on your own. And then the market bounced so quickly, like I couldn't even add more margin. And the market bounced so quickly that I actually landed up buying it back. I landed up buying my position back at like 2.4, which means that I lost a huge amount of money because I got liquidated at like 2.1 and I bought back at 2.4. And now I'm hopefully trying to add it up to try and recoup my losses. But I learned a very, very, very important lesson, right? And the important lesson is no matter how good you are, no matter how much money you've got, if you're trading on leverage, you can wreck your account. I won't forget, I was sitting with Carl the Moon on Friday, and I showed him my ETH position. We were talking about positions. And I said, look, my liquidation price is 2,200. And he looked at me and said, ETH will never ever get to 2,200 again. You have nothing to worry about. And that, I mean, ETH should never have got. And so, A, number one, it shows us that there is, that liquidations can happen in leverage. It's part of the risk, and you know you're taking the risk. That said, I know a lot of people yesterday lost their entire accounts. I've seen that. I've seen it in the comments. I've seen it in the YouTube comments. I've seen it on Twitter. A lot of people yesterday lost everything, their entire accounts. And I sympathize with you because, you know what, I could have lost my entire account as well. I managed to catch most of it in time. And that's a good reminder that a lot of people shouldn't be trading on leverage. It also reminds me of something else. And I'm going to shill something here, but it's not about the shill. It's about trying to protect our community. And I want to show it to you. So I keep saying to you guys, leverage is very rewarding and it can really be a good game, but it can also be a killer. It can destroy portfolios, right? If you're going to trade leverage, you need to understand what you're doing and you need to be able to control your risk. There's a better solution for people who got liquidated and people who aren't good traders and people who don't have unlimited money to throw at trading. And that is to try and use proprietary trading like Bitfunded. Okay. The reason why I say that and the reason why I bring this up today is because I could have wrecked a huge amount of my money. I wrecked a massive amount of my capital yesterday. Second to Luna, I've never wrecked as much capital as I wrecked yesterday. And I just thought to myself, if I was trading on someone else's money, I would have lost a maximum of, like, you can take a $25,000 account, you pay $249. You pay $249. You guys told me that if I put on Do Not Disturb, it doesn't make noises. What happened there? Yeah. Anyway, so if you pay $249, let's just go on a $10,000. You pay $99. You can only lose $99. But if you get 8% in stage one and 5% in stage two, then you're trading with $10,000 of somebody else's money, which means that if the account makes money, you keep 90%. And if the account doesn't make money, you don't get wrecked. You don't lose your entire account. So yes, of course, you have to get through two stages and it's not direct trading and et cetera, et cetera. But you wouldn't have lost your entire account. And so really, like, I really, really, really think that there's a better way. And the better way is to do something like this, like on Bitfunded. And I think just go to Bitfunded. Honestly, if you're scared, take pay $79 or $99, trade with $10,000. If you are a good trader, you can trade with other people's money. If you lose, you lose $99. If you make, you make 90% of the upside, which is completely, completely uncapped. I just thought, like, I didn't want to plug a sponsor and stuff like that, but they're not a sponsor, to be honest. It's just, it's a system that I use. It's a company that I use. It's a company that we're aligned with. But I just, after the losses that people, if the people that took losses yesterday, like after all the losses that I saw yesterday, I think this might actually be a better play. Anyway, on that note, I will see you guys again in a couple of hours. Look out for the thumbnail. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure your notifications on because we're going to be watching the press conference live together. Hopefully I can keep my eyes open. Till then, trade well, my friends.